Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiya, pal.
Deck the halls with Marv and Harry.
Yes!
Make their Christmas not so merry. Give them bricks and give them riches. One more Christmas in the trenches. Toss some paint cans down to greet them. Send the toolbox down to meet them. Serve the nails for Christmas dinner. Kevin is declared the winner.
May I do the thinking, please?
Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
You wearing aftershave?
That's kerosene.
Now why would anybody soak a rope in kerosene?
Merry Christmas.
Hello and Merry Christmas. And welcome to the Big Apple, where once again young Kevin McAllister has been abandoned by his family and is once again forced to fend for himself. But this time, instead of simply keeping his house safe, he's saving orphans, helping the homeless, and leading on old men. Yes, it's Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. And joining me to cool jerk in your ears is my fellow sticky bandit, Paul Litchfield. Merry Christmas, Paul.
And a happy new... Hang on, you do smash puns on it. And a happy new year.
Nice. Very good. Very good.
This is the Home Alone 2.
Yeah, you haven't seen this.
I haven't seen Home Alone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and wait for it, fucking 6.
Yeah, don't bother with any after 2. I mean,
this, they made 6!
This is a stretch. All after this, it's not Macaulay Culkin anymore, so I don't think it really counts.
No, okay, but they made 6.
I know, silly.
I mean, at that point, by 6, the premise must have been so watered down, and that, like, who's going to be in 6? Like, Shane Ritchie is Kevin.
Well, the only premise...
And the villains are like fucking Madder Jaffrey and fucking Joe Swash. Really? Is that what it's come to?
The only premise is that every film has to have a bit where the burglars get horrendously tortured.
It's just so tiresome, isn't it?
Yeah, this one especially, yeah.
I think the reason why I never saw it, and I was thinking about that, is because it just never hit my, like, the purview of my age. So sure. When the first one came out, I was 17.
Yeah.
I'm just not remotely interested.
Yeah.
And when Home Alone 2 came out, I was 19. So, yeah. You know, I was too busy, you know, smoking weed.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't doing that. You know.
Having it off with the lady.
Yeah, taking walks down bridal paths.
Oh, my God.
You know. Oh, my God.
Oh, you player.
Hot pillocks. You know, I just wasn't doing any of that. Yeah, it's just passed me by.
Yeah.
Also, children can't act.
No.
At all.
Well, the ones that can...
Name one.
I thought, you know what? I was watching Gremlins the other day.
Oh, Gremlins!
And old Corey Feldman was in it. He was very good, wasn't he?
Oh, he was all right, I suppose.
I think he's the exception to the rule. But
Young
I
River
agree
Phoenix?
With you.
Young Could River he get Phoenix. Away? Young River Phoenix, maybe? Yeah. Some of the Goonies? Not all.
Not all. Basically, the cast of Stand By Me we're talking about here.
Yeah, we are, aren't we?
And Wesley Crusher, he could act.
Wesley Snipes, yeah.
Yeah.
you know.
Young Wesley Crusher was in Stand By Me. And then the way you know a good child actor is that as soon as they reach like 14, 15, no one wants to know about him anymore.
And in this case, Michael Jackson didn't want to know anything about Macaulay Culkin, did he?
No.
And we could say that with our hands on our hearts.
They were just friends. That's fine.
They were just friends.
Macaulay Culkin
didn't want to look at his arsehole.
No, he was in the video to Black and White, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin's dad in that is Norm from Cheers.
Is it now?
Yeah. He's like, you turn down that music. Macaulay Culkin's like, make me. And then he plays a guitar and George Wendt goes into space.
Yes. Right. Do you think that this film would have been... No, maybe not this one, but if it's Home Alone 3...
Yeah.
They get the Terminator in to kill Kevin.
Amazing, yeah.
Like, that's the only way they can do it.
Yeah.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
I'd like it if they subverted it, and at the end, Kevin's just beaten to death.
That's really how it should have been, isn't it? It just, the film ends with a child's grave, and then 5 minutes of silence.
It's basically Get Carter, but from the point of view of Marv and Harry's relatives.
It's Kevin. He gets on board one of those awful, mawkish, carriage rides you do around Central Park.
Yes.
And then they play the end music to The Long Good Friday. Bam, 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 bam. And it's just Kevin realising he's going to get killed.
Oh, perfect.
With the two criminals driving the horse.
This used to be a nice Christmas. Families.
What they should have done, really, I mean, and I know it's such an obvious thing to talk about, but obviously we need to talk about the fact that Kevin's parents should not be allowed to have children.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
They really... I mean, it happened twice in a row, and I'm presuming third time in a row in
three... It was a different family in three.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But to happen twice, that's a social services issue,
Once is
it?
An accident. Twice is kind of you're wanting him to get kidnapped.
It's sloppy, isn't it?
Yeah.
What I would have done in three is I would have kept the idea of the family. Mm. He's now in care because he has to be. But now he's in an orphanage and the criminals try and break into that.
Perfect.
And then you can involve lots of other kids and it would be a really awful film.
That's a great idea.
It's a good idea, isn't it?
Home Alone 3. Orphanage.
The Search for Curly's Gold or something.
There you go.
Yeah. But it wasn't that. It was Home Alone 2 that I had to watch.
Lost in New York.
Lost in New York.
Isn't that an oxymoron? Home Alone, Lost in New York.
Yeah, amongst lots of...
make no sense.
Paul. And also, it's the first time I've ever hated John Williams. That's nice.
Oh, you didn't like the music?
No, I think it's fucking awful.
Oh, well, it's the same music from the first one.
Yeah, well, and that was fucking awful.
I should say as well, because you haven't seen the first one. You have seen the first one because it's the exact same plot and script.
I know enough to know what the first one is. They leave him at home.
Yeah.
He sings whilst pretending to shave, and then criminals try and break in.
That's right.
And then he hurts them with paint pots.
And all the little beats that happen in this film, including the big beats at the end, is exactly the same as the first film.
Right, but they only happen in the last 25 minutes.
That's right. That's the only
bit. And you have an hour and a half of mawkish absolute tripe.
Yes.
Loved it.
Yeah, well, let's get into it, because the McAllister family are packing in a hurry because they're going to spend Christmas in Miami.
They are. And of course, like any family, what they do is they all run around going, which is perfectly normal.
But Kevin's got his talk boy.
Is that what that is?
It's called a talk boy.
A talk boy.
Now, I'm pretty sure I saw someone else talking about this. These were out at the time and apparently they were shit.
Right.
But this one's like the highest definition clarity.
Right.
That can really zoom in and focus in on isolated sounds. It's basically, if John Lennon had used this for the new Beatles song, Peter Jackson would have had nothing to do.
It's like the sort of equipment they were using in The Conversation.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's stuff that was would be used by the FBI.
Yeah, all old Hackman would have to do is lean out of a window and just point it.
Point like a weird, dirty-looking water pistol at you.
That
like
man
a green
having a
water
sandwich.
Pistol.
You hear him chomping it.
Yeah, he could squirt condiments on it, I suppose.
Squirt condiments on it as well. Because they'd think, why is that man leaning out the window? Oh, look, he squirted some HP sauce.
Oh, that's okay. He's squirting HP sauce on my sandwich. That's perfectly rational.
What a nice man.
What a nice man he is. Oh, look, there's a man with a cannon. I presume that's dessert.
Yes. Just a Viennetta drops out.
Oppenheimer's Viennetta.
They should do an Oppenheimer-style film about the man who invented Viennetta, shouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, about 4 hours long.
I'd write it.
With him wrestling with his conscience. Should I do it? Should I combine smooth with crunchy?
And there's the bit where they have... I'd make up a story. They all had to locate to the desert to come up with the idea. And at the end, when he says to Albert Einstein, except it's not Albert Einstein, it's...
it's Mr. Whippy.
Jamie Oliver.
It's fucking Mr. Whippy.
Mr. Whippy. Do you remember when I said that I'd change ice cream forever? I did. And then he sees loads of fat people. Oh, no.
He has to explain to Mr. Whippy there's a 0.4% chance that the Viennetta will melt quickly.
The end could be him then seeing... Because was it Iceland who did it? You could get a Viennetta on a stick?
Oh, I've heard about the Viennetta on a stick. It's like in Japan where they have like 900 flavours of Kit Kat.
Yes, they do, don't they?
Why do they do that?
Some of them are like rose flavour.
Yeah, mad stuff, pistachio and, like, you know, date rape. Yeah. Weird stuff.
But
why do we just have peanut butter?
Jamie Oliver.
Is it all Jamie Oliver's fault?
Sugar tax, isn't it? You can't have too much sugar.
Oh, is it because of him?
Yeah, that's why Mars bars now are the size of a pygmy's penis. I assume.
And flavoured as well.
And I tell you what, if you've been a pygmy, you can work, rest and play all day long, I tell you that much.
Anyway, so you have these lovely opening credits.
Yeah, using his talk boy to record.
And he's right moody, isn't he?
He doesn't want to go to Miami because he loves snow and Christmas trees.
All right, fucking Rain Man.
And the dad comes in and goes, I want to plug my camcorder in. Even though I'm in a mansion with 48 million rooms, I need to plug it into this exact bedroom plug. Yeah.
But what a mistake to make it. He unplugs the alarm clock.
Now, you and I, if we unplugged an alarm clock, we'd probably go, oh, you know what? I've probably reset the time. I should sort that out.
It's quite crucial because we're having a flight tomorrow morning.
Especially after last year. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like if you were in a road traffic accident because you were reading a newspaper and masturbating as you were driving along at 7 miles an hour.
Trying to do a Sudoku in the boot
when you should have been in the front seat driving. You wouldn't do that again, would you?
You would not go into the boot again and go, well, I'll try this time with the crossword.
You stop yourself at the last minute and go, oh, remember what happened last year?
Yes, exactly.
When I killed those nuns.
Well, he doesn't, does he, the dopey shit? Mind you, you don't blame him because, as I said, the family before that have spent an hour going, and running around like fucking Ray Cooney farce.
He wanted to go in his bedroom and look at his seashells.
So he unplugs the alarm clock. Oh, dear.
And then Kevin's given a present from his auntie, which will be important later. This is an inflatable clown.
Inflatable clown, vital to the plot.
It's Chekhov's inflatable clown. So he goes around looking for things to record with his talk boy. So, of course, he records his uncle in the shower.
Well, no, his dad goes, you haven't got your tie. You need to have your tie. Because, you know, they're going to travel on a plane, so it's formal wear on this plane. Yeah. Get your tie. And he goes, it's in the bathroom. And the dad goes, well, go in the bathroom. Your naked uncle is showering there. Don't worry about that.
And his uncle said to him, don't come in or you'll never feel like a real man.
So that's all perfectly fine. And we'll also go in the dossier of evidence against his fucking family.
And he's recording Uncle Frank who's singing Cool Jerk.
Another vital piece of information for the film.
That's right, because he says, get out of here, you nosy little pervert, or I'm going to slap you silly.
Yeah, perfectly normal behaviour for a showering uncle.
Showering uncle.
Can we discuss fucking Kevin's brother? The older one. What's he called? Buzz. Yeah. What a fucking arsehole.
Yeah, yeah. He's horrible.
He was horrible, jacket potato faced prick.
Yeah, he was horrible in the first one, but they've turned it up to 11. He was only mean in the first one, but this one he actually does something that changes history.
Really? What, like Back to the Future?
Yeah, he goes back in time and he puts a carrot up his own
arse and becomes Rudolph.
I just mean this one, he's actually got a hand in what happens because he humiliates poor Kevin, doesn't he, at this
he does. Singing. Well, but it's all about the pageant. They have to go to the pageant that night, I presume. Mm. The pageant, by the way, looks like a Hufflepuff death cult.
Yeah, it's awful. It's like Eyes Wide Shut.
And sing. It's very scary.
Yeah.
And they're all singing a song and then he just like sort of like puts some candles behind his ears and apparently that makes everyone go apoplectic with laughter.
Well, it's not that funny.
It's really not that funny.
Plus, it's all kids, and Buzz looks about 38.
He really does. He's just behind his own brother, sort of like shining two artificial lit candles behind his ears.
Yeah, to make his ears glow.
To make his ears glow a bit.
Yeah.
And the whole audience then sort of points at Kevin and goes, ha ha, prick.
Yeah, the audience are pissing themselves. It's like it's the greatest joke ever invented.
Mind you, O'Hara isn't. She's like, oh no, my poor Kevin.
Uncle Frank, though, he's just pointing and laughing.
Pointing and laughing and masturbating and screaming and bleeding. Yeah. Just loving it. Doing all those things.
I'm just thinking how the Japanese title of this film, because you know the translation gets fucked.
Yes, yeah, so it'll be like...
it would be Showering Uncle.
Lonely Boy Showering Uncle Time.
That's it.
Two. Imagine people flocking to the cinema to go and see Lonely Boy Showering Uncle Time
The
two.
Wrong people would flock to the cinema, yeah. It was a massive hit in Budapest.
It ran for 5 years in Serbia. This was the only film they had. Jesus. So because his brother is really cruel to him, they all get home and Kevin's really like, oh, I hate
him. Kevin pushes him over and
it
causes the entire choir to collapse.
They all fall, don't they, like Skittles. Yeah.
That's right. And Buzz gives an apology because he's horrible. He calls Kevin a trout sniffer.
Because of a trout sniffer.
What is a trout sniffer?
I don't know. Is that something they used to say in San Francisco in the 70s?
I don't know. I don't know what a trout is. I mean, I know it's trout a fish. Sniffer.
I think it's gay code.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think it's the bit between the bottom and the balls?
I think he likes to smell taints.
Yes, yeah. I think that's what it is. That's a trout, isn't it? It looks a bit like a trout.
Yeah. So he calls him that, and then Kevin's like, I hate you all. And then he sort of goes upstairs and has a right, I'll just drop.
This is exact thing happens in the first one, except in the first one.
Oh, is it?
In the first one, he causes a bottle of Coke to spill over and ruin everyone's dinner.
Oh,
because he's having a strop. And then in the first one, he says, I wish I didn't have a family. And then the mum goes, oh, if you wake up in the morning and we're gone, you'll be sad.
How does one bottle of Coke ruin everyone's dinner?
I think it's like a sort of domino effect.
Does it go up all their arseholes?
It goes all up their arseholes. Uncle Frank at the time was just eating a whole tube of Mentos.
Mentos, right. For the Mentos chicken. Yeah, right. I see.
And he took off up the chimney.
And it goes in the gravy boat, and he shoots up the chimney. Yeah. The fireworks coming out of his ass. I see.
That's right, yeah.
Right, okay. It's nice to have all this backstory. So Kevin literally sort of goes, bleh, and his mum just goes, it's all your fault, you petulant, precocious little shit.
Yeah. Kevin's terrible. Got a point. Kevin says, why should I apologise? He humiliated me.
That's so true. Yeah. He humiliated me.
He did.
And I will have my revenge.
Yeah. Fucking John Wick being asked to apologise.
Just ridiculous. Oh. Anyway, there you go.
So he goes upstairs. And the next morning, we get the same montage from the first film, essentially.
But there's a twist. Running around like fuckwits.
There's a twist this time, because in the first one, they accidentally count Kevin's head because a kid from next door comes around.
Right.
So they leave without him. But this one, the joke is he just turns around in the front seat and says, I'm here. And you're
there's a head count, and you go, oh, no, is he out there? And he's in the front seat. Yeah. Wonderful stuff.
But he's so obsessed with this young talk boy machine. Yeah. I assume it's young. That he wants the batteries from his dad's bag.
He does. Which he opens at the airport, and in the kerfuffle, Kevin notices all of dad's money in one envelope. Mm.
And
which
he's,
is a perfectly
wallet.
Reasonable thing for a dad to do.
Yeah.
Is have all the money for the Christmas break in one envelope.
One envelope.
And then he notices he's looking in the bag and goes, oh, you're going to carry my bag, are you?
Yeah, looked like ADR, a Lady Yard line, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, also, if I was given my dad's bag at the age of 10, knowing full well that there were £5,000 in it, my dad would have fucking stapled it to his own head and not given it to me.
Because
I would have been fine. If I found, let's say, $5,000 in my dad's bag and he gave it to me, they'd fucking find me 6 years later on the moon, dressed like Batman, living in a TARDIS made of tits. You can't trust a 10-year-old with all that money.
No.
He's quite happy to.
Yeah. Well, this guy's fucking an idiot.
Family.
We know that.
The whole family are absolute retards.
Just the fucking worst.
And there's like 85 of them.
But he follows a man who's wearing the same coat and scarf as his dad.
Yeah, they're all running because the gate's about to close, so they're all running.
And again, this happens in the first
stupid
film.
Fucking reason. Mm. There's a man who looks exactly like his dad in clothing.
Mm. Yeah.
even though he's a midget. No, it's just so stupid. So Kevin, who lags behind to change his batteries, then thinks that's the silhouette of his dad. But they've all gone to the right to go to Miami.
Yeah.
But Kevin follows him left to New York. And then goes through their very brusque security gate, which is, I'm on that flight. My dad went in before me. Oh, go on then.
I mean, I don't want to say it, but you're thinking that the 9/11 hijackers watched this
and went piece of piss. Yeah. If you want to know how 9/11 happened, this is it.
Yeah.
Fucking five boys went in that plane. They never came back.
No wonder they crashed. So he gets...
She just lets him in. She just goes, go on then.
Yeah. She goes, did your dad go through? And he goes, yeah, he just went through. And she goes, okay, go and find a seat.
Yeah, go and find a seat that's nowhere near your dad.
Yeah, okay.
Jeez.
Well, that's what their parents did in the first one and this one. The parents have got a cosy seat in first class.
Right.
And they're going, you guys all have to sit apart in economy. It's like, well, fuck you.
Jesus Christ. Again, the dossier on this family, the McAllisters.
Oh, awful. But Kevin gets sat next to a very chatty French paedophile.
Yeah, he's all like, when the things I'll do to you, it's not translated.
No, he's just going, oh,
in that country, we'd have you trussed up in the delicatessen. It's all that stuff. So Kevin wisely puts his earphones on, but misses all the announcements about it's a flight to New York.
Yeah.
So he's none the wiser.
Yeah. But brilliant. I still love the bit when they get to Miami and they're going, oh, here's Kevin's bag. Give that to Kevin. They pass it along. Kevin's not there. Pass it back.
Yeah.
And even though it's the same joke from the first film, which is essentially Catherine O'Hara shouting Kevin and then collapsing.
Right.
It's Catherine O'Hara. So it's still funny.
Okay. It's the only funny fall.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
In the film.
The funniest bit in the film I've got noted for later. I think it's brilliant.
Okay, I've not found one, so okay. I'm really happy that you're going to find me one.
Yeah, I will tell
There's
you
There's a bit
get
that
there.
Made me go, and I'll tell you when that happens.
Yeah, well, when we get
But I think that's the funniest pratfall in it.
Yeah, it's funny. She sells it really well.
Yeah, she does sell it well, yeah.
So Kevin realises I'm on my own in New York with a massive bag full of cash.
Yeah.
So he goes on an explore, and he goes to the top of the World Trade Center, and didn't you find that a bit...
Oh, it's a bit weird, isn't it? And of course, he does what any 10-year-old boy would do when you're lost in a city, is he goes on some sort of fucking saga fucking tour.
Yeah.
He's a 10-year-old.
Yeah,
should be going to the arcades and looking up women's skirts on the fucking subway. No, literally goes on a fucking tour.
What he should have done is gone, because he went to the top of the World Trade Center, he should have had a little wee off the side.
He should have had a wee. I would have had a wee off the side.
Yeah, it'd be funny.
Yeah, because apparently I was always told that if you throw anything off that, when it lands, it will like go through the earth and kill everyone.
That's right. You do a little dribble of wee. When it gets to the floor, it'll be like a shard of glass.
It'd be like a massive javelin. Yeah. I'd probably try and squeeze a little rabbit pellet.
A little pop.
Just a little poo. Just a little poo puppet. And just see what that does. Imagine by the time it lands, it's like 900 foot long and
it's what killed the dinosaurs.
You find out that's what killed the dinosaurs.
You are Edric, and I claim my £5.
But literally, I can't believe he goes on some fucking, like he's a 90-year-old man going on a saga holiday. Mm. I'll go and see the sights because I'm 10 years old.
Yeah.
The fuck are you doing? Go to the arcade. Go where the sweets are.
He just goes everywhere.
Jesus Christ. Well, he has a nice time, I suppose.
Well, it kind of makes you think, that New York's only like, you know, everything's 5 minutes from each other. They're fucking miles away from everywhere.
Yeah, it's going to take him hours to get anywhere. He has to go on the subway.
Yes.
He's not going to survive that in the early 90s.
With a bag full of cash.
With a bag full, he'd be dead. He'd be literally pinned to the fucking roof of the subway with a fucking machete.
Yeah, as soon as he buys a pretzel and he takes out his $20 note surrounded by $50 notes, he'll be fucking killed before he eats it.
He's mugged immediately. Yeah, anyway.
So meanwhile, the wet bandits from the first film.
Right, why are they called the wet bandits?
Because in the first film, what they do is every time they burgle the house...
Is it because they're permanently sexually aroused?
They're permanently sexually aroused. Every time they burgle a house, Daniel Stern's character gets a really runny ass. What he does is every time they burgle a house, he then stuffs dish rags into the sink and runs the tap. So it will flood.
Oh.
Just to be horrible.
That's just really not nice.
Yeah. And he says, okay, we're the wet bandits, he says.
And then in this one, they become the sticky bandits.
Sticky bandits, because every time he thinks of burgling a house, he comes in his pants.
I was going to say, he's keeping on the sexual, the sexual moniker.
Joe Pesci's like, I must stop doing robberies with a man who wears a vagina and a penis.
Joe Pesci in this is fucking awful. I'm so sorry. Yeah. The other guy's not bad.
He's great. He sells his...
He's really good at reaction stuff. He's really good at selling pain. Joe Pesci is just shit.
This is phoning it in. I think he's better in the first one. He's got more to do in the first one.
Is he at this stage he's doing things like poorly and when he's like being a wisecracking parrot? Or like Imhotep the nematode or whatever he's fucking doing at that stage. Just shitty.
He did that one where he was the building supervisor or something. It was really bad.
Okay,
Yeah. He's living off that Oscar win, isn't he?
What I found amusing is the other guy. I can't remember the actor's name.
Daniel Stern.
Right. He does a lovely thing where he's constantly stealing people's clothes.
Yes.
It's a lovely gag because it comes with a really silly sound effect every time.
Yeah.
When he lifts a hat or a scarf. It doesn't really matter what it is. He just... And also no one seems to notice, even though it's really flagrant.
Yes.
That's sort of semi-amusing.
He's good. He also sells the wax later on very well.
Yes. Yeah.
So, meanwhile... Kevin was walking around Central Park and he encounters a terrifying lady, pigeon lady.
A terrifying pigeon lady.
Brenda Fricker.
Brenda Fricker, who is literally covered in bird shit.
Yeah.
And stood in Central Park looking insane.
Yes.
And he looks at her, she looks at him, and he just runs away in fear.
Yeah. So this is, again, in the first film, there's a man who clears... There's a man
who's... covered in dog shit?
Man in the neighborhood covered in dog shit.
Covered in dog shit and dogs.
Yeah.
Right.
No, there's a man in the first film who has a snow shovel and he's always clearing up snow, but he looks terrifying, so Kevin's scared of him.
Okay.
So it's the same thing.
Jesus Christ, they just literally remade it then.
Yes, yeah, a carbon copy of the first
one. They just remade the first one almost... Yeah. Okay.
Just a little twist here and there.
By the way, Ali Sheedy in the airport.
Yeah, it's a nice little cameo,
for like
isn't it?
5 seconds. Lovely Ali Sheedy.
It's a John Hughes film, isn't it? So you got to have some of
these... Yeah, what happened to Ali Sheedy? She just sort of disappeared. Didn't she, bless her?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, anyway, it's nice to see her, blonde hair.
Always nice to see Ali Sheedy.
Always nice to see Ali Sheedy.
Yeah.
So,
Kevin sees the Plaza Hotel, which he saw on the telly earlier.
He saw on the television when he was up in his attic room being all precocious, and he thinks, I'm going to check in there.
Yeah, with my dad's credit card.
With my dad's credit card. And this shouldn't work, and couldn't work, but in the film, of course, it does.
He uses the talk boy to slow down his voice, and he goes,
yes.
Hello, I'm now, Mr. McAllister, and he goes, exactly. The father.
Now, 5 minutes ago, he was on top of the World Trade Center, and now he's literally using a terrorist voice. Because if I was a receptionist, I'd like, evacuate the hotel.
Yeah.
Because someone's going, I'd like to book a hotel. No, you may not, terrorist.
That must be like the man from Saw. He must, when he rings to book a room, yeah, get
I want
to
play a game.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right, well. Yeah, it's fucking McAllister, isn't it? Which makes sense. There was a running joke on the internet that Saw was actually Kevin from Home Alone. So,
get makes off.
Sense with the voice.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't know, but I'm going to agree with it.
Yeah. So they buy it, and he tries to find the front desk, and we get a Donald Trump cameo.
We do, which is just so funny.
He looks like a gormless ape.
Donald Trump is obviously, this is 1992, so I presume he's out grabbing festive pussy.
Yes.
And he just stands behind him and looks at him like, ooh.
I think he owned the Plaza at the time, so I think that was his caveat to letting them use it.
Right.
Can I have a little walk on cameo, which is fine.
Yeah. But he doesn't do anything of worth or fun or doesn't do a pratfall.
He should have done a forward roll for no reason.
He should have slipped over. It's Home Alone 2.
Yeah, he should have slipped over.
He should have slipped over something.
Banged his head and then...
Yeah, something bang his head. But instead of little birds flying around animated, it was like naked porn stars or something like that.
Dollar bills.
Or like dollar bills. Mm. Yeah, dollar bills.
No, $100 bills.
$100 bills. Yeah. He should have, like, the chambermaid should have gone past and a loose piece of, like, scented soap should have fallen out the trolley and he should have slipped in the background.
Perfect.
They could have done a stunt. A stuntman could have done it.
Yeah.
But no, he just looks at him.
Yeah.
And then goes off his dirty, foul business.
And then he could have drawn a picture with a...
Yeah.
With a...
cock and
a bit of pickle. And then he could have turned to the camera and gone, look, art of the deal.
Ah.
Yeah.
But no.
No. Didn't do any of
no
that.
No point. No, didn't do any of that.
No.
He just looks at him askance and then walks away out of shot.
So I was going to say, I've written a note here. At the beginning of the film, it says, with Tim Curry. But what it should read is,
yeah,
thank fuck for Tim Curry.
Thank fuck
he for elevates this film by 1,000,000%.
He really does. And he ain't got much to do, bless him.
No, but he does a lot with it.
Except be suspicious. Mm. But it's so lovely to have him in it.
Oh, he's so good in this.
Yeah, except the way he gets tricked is, again, pathetic.
It is, yeah.
And the way that he and the rest of his staff get tricked is even more pathetic.
It is, yeah.
Oh, crap. Anyway, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But meanwhile,
so Kevin gets the sweep, doesn't he?
Kevin gets the sweep. As you say, Tim Curry is suspicious. And meanwhile, while this is all happening, his mum and dad go to see the police in Miami.
They do. And oh, by the way, where they've gone for their Christmas holidays is like a shitter. It's like a storm.
Yes.
And they booked some crappy hotel.
It's
again,
constantly
raining. This family are fucking appalling.
Yeah, yeah.
They couldn't even book a decent place to go on vacation.
I think actually, in their defence, I think they're staying by the airport.
Drunks? Are
they're
they
staying
drunks?
By the airport because Kevin's gone missing. I think where they were going to stay
see.
Was nice.
Okay.
They had to stay in the airport hotel.
Got you. Mm. So they explain the situation to the policeman and they sort of make light of it and joke. Mm. And the policeman's just going, you're very, very, very horrible people.
Yeah. And he doesn't even know because he's from Miami. If he'd have looked into it, he'd have gone again.
Yeah,
you've done
well,
it
they
again.
Sort of do that, like we've done it again. We've forgotten our only blood child.
Yeah.
Oh God.
So Rob Schneider,
brilliant,
is in this.
Yeah, Cedric.
Yeah,
the bellboy, who's a thief.
Yes,
hilarious. He's a thief. Yeah. Because when he lets Kevin into the room and Kevin's looking around going, awesome! Although, why a 10-year-old boy would be excited by soft furnishings, I don't fucking
also,
know.
Also, because it just looks like his home.
Yeah, it looks exactly like his house. Awesome!
It's like, this looks like the bed is as big as your mum and dad's bed. The room
yeah,
is as big as your mum and
that,
dad's room.
Look at that chair! And look at that settee and table.
Kid, you live, you live in a mansion.
Look at that bath! Mm. He gets really excited about a bath. Mm. Fuck's sake. And while he's doing that, Schneider's just rifling through his bag, noticing money.
Well, Tim Curry did tell him to look into him. He
I suppose so, but...
But yeah, it's not a nice thing to do to a 10-year-old boy.
No, try and stop him. Anyway, he shows him around and then does that whole give me a tip. And Kevin gives him a stick at gum.
And he says there's plenty more where that came from. Which is coincidentally how much Rob Schneider gets paid these days to be in films.
Right, yes, of course. Gets paid in gum.
He does, because he... He's gone all right wing now, hasn't he?
Oh, I always thought he was, even when I never knew who he was.
You know how you know he's gone right wing? Because his career's gone down the toilet.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, well.
They'll always have you. They're like a working man's club in Yorkshire. They'll always have you if you're racist. Mm?
Actually, and now you've mentioned, thank God for Tim Curry, this is the only half laugh in the film.
Go on.
The very first time you see Tim, he just tells Cedric, stop counting your tips in public.
Yes.
For some reason, that just made me go.
Every line he says is delivered really well.
Yeah,
but
stop counting your tips in public.
I've got a bit of excellent trivia here.
Oh, go on.
Well, Kevin starts watching Angels with Even Filthier Souls.
Right.
Which in the first film he watches a film called Angels with Filthy Souls with this same fella in it.
Which, of course, is exactly the sort of film a 10-year-old fucking boy would love.
Yeah.
Old black and white film noirs.
Well, the joke is in the first film, it's like one of his dad's films that he shouldn't be watching.
Okay.
And this one he just puts it on. Anyway, the guy in the video who says, you know, keep the change, you filthy animal.
Okay.
He is in Blues Brothers. At the end, when they're in the car chase, and that man says, use of unnecessary violence and the apprehension of the Blues Brothers has been approved. It's the same man.
Oh, that's cool.
That's a nice little fact.
Yeah.
Factoid.
Anyway, so he's watching a film where a sugar daddy guns down his hoe wife.
Yes.
Or mistress.
Yeah.
And shoots her with a machine gun.
A Tommy gun, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Kids film. Classic kids film.
Classic kids Christmas film.
Mm. But as he's turning off, he has to turn off his film because Tim Curry comes in to have a bit of a snooping around.
Yeah, he hasn't got the information he needs. Mm-hmm. Luckily, Kevin goes, I know just the thing to do. Because Kevin, of course, is fucking MacGyver.
He is.
And
not,
can make
he's not having sex with MacGyver, just make that clear.
No, please, we must make that 100% abundantly clear.
Yes.
But what he can do is he can literally sort of very quickly come up with a variety of pulleys, levers and tricks and things using all the stuff he's got. And this is when the clown, Inflatable Clown, comes into wonderful effect.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
He plays Uncle Frank in the shower on the Talk Boy and uses the clown. Yeah. In a silhouette, though, it looks like Kevin's dad has got a horrible wasting disease.
He looks like he's got a horrible wasting disease and he's trying to masturbate and sing at the same time.
Yes.
In silhouette.
But he can't, the way the arms are going, it's like his cock keeps slipping out of his hands. Like,
too much soap. Now, Tim sees this silhouette and goes, that's perfectly fine with me.
And then Kevin stops the movements just because Uncle Frank says, I'll slap you silly, you little pervert.
Yeah, so now Tim goes, oh no, maybe my job now is in jeopardy because it looks like I'm snooping on the male guests.
Basically, male
guest. He gets worried because he might be revealed as a practicing homosexual, which in 1992, of course, can never happen.
No, he doesn't want people to find out that he stopped practicing age ago and he's really good at it now.
Yeah, he's an expert now. Yeah. In fact, he runs the club in the Police Academy films.
That's right.
What's it called? The Blue Oyster. Anyway, he's a shadow of an inflatable clown wasting away and wanking.
Yes.
And runs back down to his desk going, oh dear, what have I done?
Yes.
Brilliant.
So when Kevin comes down in the morning, Tim Curry's all like, oh God, you know, I can't do enough for you. When can I see your father and apologise to him? And he's like, oh, he's already left for a meeting. Is the car here? And he goes, yes, sir, a limousine with a complimentary pizza.
Yes, because he wants to sort of make up for the fact that he might be a pederast and or right. practicing homosexualist.
Or professional homosexual.
Professional. Mm. So then he nothing really has happened yet.
No.
But Kevin now goes on another sort of saga tour around New York, but finds a toy department. Well,
before
store.
We get there, we've missed a
bit.
Oh,
what
the
happens
plot.
Then?
There's a nice little scene transition here because Kevin's watching stuff on the telly, and we see a bit of the Grinch film, and it cuts to Tim Curry doing the exact same smile.
Oh,
because he's put Kevin's credit card through, and it's been reported as stolen.
Yes, because the Miami police have decided that might be the best way to trace the missing son is to decline the credit card. So that's come up now, and now Curry's like, I've got you.
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
So, yes, he goes to Duncan's.
But then Tim Curry probably goes to the back of the thing and has sex with men because he's an expert.
Yeah, exactly. So, he can do it without even looking.
Yeah, he does it all by himself.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Oh, meanwhile, sorry, Harry and Marv have come up with a plan. And this is the bit you were talking about where he's stealing clothes. He's saying, why do we need to rob a bank? They'll all be closed or whatever. Where's the best place where there'll always be money Christmas Eve? Why? A toy shop.
A toy shop, of course, which I wouldn't have been my first.
No. I think a bank's better. One.
Bank, probably. Especially at Christmas. Mm. Again, probably full of it. Full of money.
Yeah.
No one's, getting rid of the money over Christmas.
Christmas shop.
Some sort of Christmas market.
A shop that sells Christmas.
Yeah. Mm. Like Bloomingdale's or something. Just break into there.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it has to be
Duncan's Toy Chest.
Duncan's Toy Chest store.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
So Kevin, meanwhile, goes to Duncan's.
Yeah.
And he's looking around, and he goes to the till, and we meet a kindly old gentleman.
A kindly old gentleman with no past.
Who says, oh, Mr. Duncan's really nice. He's going to give all the money from today's proceeds to a children's hospital, and Mr. Duncan likes children because they bring him a lot of joy.
Yeah. Oh God.
Kevin says, "You know what?" And he says, "Well, you've got a lot of money, little boy." And Kevin says, "I have. I did lots of yard work, and you know what? Your story's touched me so much. I'm going to give $20 to Mr. Duncan."
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, because I'd rather a young orphan had it than me.
Isn't that very sweet?
And the old man says, that's the nicest thing. I tell you what, help yourself to anything off this shitty, cheap Christmas tree.
Let me choose for you.
Choose for you the
let
cheapest one.
Let me give you this ceramic
the one they get the best
dove.
Margin on. What was that?
The ones that he gets at the Chinese sweatshop for fucking 3 cents.
These two turtle doves. And you know what?
Yes.
Give one to someone you like and they'll be your friend forever.
And stick the other one near your taint and then bring it to me when it's all what?
You
what?
Fucking trout sniffer. Yeah.
So literally does this awful fucking like made up piece of folklore.
Yeah.
If you keep a turtle dove with you and you give it to someone else, you'll always be friends forever.
That's right.
And Kevin goes, Yeah, fuck it, I'll buy that. All right.
And then as he's leaving, he looks up and there's a painting of Mr. Duncan. And
I'm Mr. Duncan!
It's that kindly old man. He turns around and he's not there anymore. I'm like, are they saying he was a ghost?
He's under the counter wanking.
Because Kevin's been leading him
on. Just see the top of his head bobbing up and down. Exactly. It does look like, oh no, Mr. Duncan died 400 years ago.
That's ridiculous. Mr. Duncan died 400 years ago in electric
accident. Suddenly now it's ghost and Kevin has to make pots with Mr. Duncan behind him. Oh, no. Oh my love.
He has to snog Whoopi Goldberg at the end.
Jesus, Corbett. The mawkishness of this film is
so bad.
So awful.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So then outside, he bumps into the wet bandits.
He does. And they're like, it's him!
But Kevin does this really loud scream. And I really like...
The scream's good.
The reaction of Daniel Stern is great because he does that thing where he's about to grab it and then pulls himself back and looks left and right. And it's a very funny reaction.
Yeah.
And then he runs away and throws some pearls down on the floor.
Yeah, he buys some pearls from some street toughs.
Yes.
And gives him like $5 to buy a big clutch of pearls. And then rather cunningly scatters them. All by the way, underneath his own feet, which don't seem to affect him.
No.
Because he's so sprightly and small.
He's being carried by the ghost of Mr. Duncan.
Yeah, Mr. Duncan's done a ghost fart and it lifts him over them. But suddenly the two crims, they come running and they do a comedy fall.
They go all over the joint.
Oh, they do a right slip. They land on their bum-bums.
So Kevin's
I was in the cinema, am I supposed to be throwing popcorn and screaming with laughter at this point?
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Right.
Because it's a taste of things to come, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yes. Yeah.
So Kevin thinks, aha, I've got away, and he runs to the plaza.
Yeah.
Tim Curry's there to greet him, and he goes to Tim Curry, look, these guys are chasing me. And Tim Curry goes, well, you can give me that credit card, you young thief.
I've just finished practicing being a homosexual.
I passed.
And I passed with true colours, A+. Look at my brown rosette, sorry.
Look at that all over my face.
Yes, but Kevin gives him a slip and runs into the reception. And then all the hotel staff, Cedric, Tim Curry, chase Kevin and that lady. Mm. And they chase him, but he slips under her. into the lift. And they all run into each other unnecessarily. And another fall happens. Another fall.
And he goes up into the lift to his room and says, right, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But Tim Curry and a guard turns up.
Yes, Scott.
Cliff.
Cliff.
Cliff
that's
is
right.
important. Cliff.
And Cedric and Lady.
And then he puts on Angels with Dirty, Filthier Souls again.
Yes, which is pre-recorded on his grey, dirty
and
recording
gun. High definition, perfect sound.
Perfect sound. So now what they think is that there's an old man from a black and white TV film in the other room, which I can't see, doing the dialogue from the film that Kevin taped, holding them with a gun.
But I did like Tim Curry's reactions make these jokes brilliant, because he says, "You were here last night," and Tim Curry goes, "Yes, that's right, I was." And he goes, "You were here last night smooching with my brother," and he's like,
"Smooching." Doesn't deny it.
And then he says, "You were smooching with this guy, and he goes, "And you were smooching with Cliff," and the guard's called Cliff, and Cliff's like, "It's very
nothing
funny
to do with me, mate." Oh. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Cliff goes,
and then goes, "You got 3 seconds to get out of here. I'll blow your fucking brains out." And they all think, "Oh God, there's a genuine old man in the other room with a gun."
Yeah.
So they 3 seconds. So they run out and then they duck and then there's the gunfire and they think they're being shot at, even though there's no bullets or any physical evidence to suggest it's happening.
That's right. And Tim Curry drags himself along the floor by his elbows.
By his elbows, with
telling everyone
bum
to get in their rooms.
Yeah,
his little bum
going up and down. Yeah. Really funny. And all the guests come out and then they go, "This place has been overrun by fucking Tommy guns," or whatever it is. And it's just so, I just can't stop laughing at this point.
It's, so Kevin gets outside. Yay, he's escaped. Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, he hasn't, though, is he?
Wet bandits.
He went through the back of the hotel, didn't he? And who's waiting for him?
Bloody wet bandits again.
Yeah, they grab him immediately. They got him.
And they're holding him.
Slit his throat at the end.
Marv says, "Well, we got you, and it doesn't matter now, because I can tell you tonight we're going to rob Duncan's toy chest."
Yeah, we're going to tell you, like a James Bond villain, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do.
And then we're going to go to South America.
Yeah.
And have adventures. Luckily, Kevin tricks a lady into thinking
this
that Marv touched her.
Yeah, they're at a sidewalk and they've got him, they both, I can't remember the names, Marv and
Harry.
Harry have got him in both his arms, but he manages to sneak his arm out and pinch a lady's bottom and then goes, "It was that man." And she gives her a right-o slap.
Yeah.
And then he goes, "Sorry, no, I meant that man." And then she punches the other Harry, and then he makes his escape.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So, meanwhile, in Miami,
McAllisters
find out that Kevin is in the Plaza Hotel.
Yes.
In New York. So that she's like, "Well, I'm getting on the first plane."
Yeah. Well, no, she says, "We're all going to New York."
Yes.
So they all now leave there.
And they all seem really happy about it.
Well, because it's all miserable and raining and they're just in like a trailer park or something, aren't
That's
they?
True, yeah.
Yeah, so they can't wait to go to New York.
So they're all going to go. Meanwhile, Kevin runs off to his Uncle Rob's Upper Side townhouse, which his dad says, "Oh,
Kevin's
he'll probably go to Rob's house."
Yeah, but his brother's in Paris and, would you, Adam and Eve it, the house is in the mid-renovation
stage. Is
it
though? Because it looks like it's been condemned for about 40 years.
It's been condemned for 40 years because it's haunted by the guy from the fucking toy shop.
Yeah, Mr. Duncan died there wanking.
Yeah, there are 900 dead male prostitutes in the fucking cellar.
Fucking John Wayne Gacy's holiday home.
John Wayne Gacy portrait above the door. Jesus H. Corbett. Anyway, and you think, he's going to go in there straight away? No.
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 So he decides to chance it and walk around in the dark.
Instead of getting into some sort of haven of safety,
he
goes, "I'll just walk around the mean streets of New York."
And he sees a homeless fat man who goes,
lots of other homeless people go,
Two women are like, "Want someone to read you a bedtime story?" And he'll be like, "Actually, I've got loads of money. Yes, please."
Yeah, actually, I would actually.
Go on, get him out.
Yeah. Let me see your fucking jackanories. Or something of that ilk, but he doesn't because Kevin's scared.
He's a scared boy. So he gets in a taxi and he goes, "Oh, it's horrible out there." And the taxi driver turns around. He's got a milky eye. And he says, "It ain't much better in here."
"It ain't much better in here, kid."
And you're supposed to be getting business, aren't you? And then he just drives off and lets this kid run into Central Park in the middle
Central
of the night.
Central Park by himself, which is, that in the 90s, is like literally the fulcrum of all known murder.
Yeah.
But don't worry, he meets the pigeon lady again.
Pigeon lady again, and wouldn't you know it, just like he did the year before when he thought the snowman was bad. Pigeon lady's lovely.
Brenda Fricker's really lovely. Although, obviously, an absolute fucking basket case.
Yes.
She stands in the middle of the park feeding pigeons and they live on her.
She's not okay.
She's not okay. And you find out she's like that because, obviously, some bloke jilted her at one point.
Yeah.
And so all men are liars, and now she thought, "Fuck it, I'm going to live in the park with pigeons.
I can't let myself get hurt again." And then Kevin tells her about a pair of rollerblades he bought once.
Mm. Yeah.
And she's like, thanks, that's really helped.
And then he says, look, I don't want to be alone in a park with a woman covered in pigeons. And I want a hot chocolate. And she goes, I know just the place.
Yeah.
And they break into the New York Carnegie Philharmonic. Hall. Oh, is it Carnegie Hall?
Yeah.
All right.
I thought you could only get in there with practice.
Yeah, well, you can only get in there with...
She started a coup.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Much better joke.
She says, I've seen all the greats here. Count Basie, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, Rod Hull and Emu.
Paul Shane.
Baby. She's seen them all. Yeah, she's seen the chicken bloke. Yep. She's seen that. Yep. Spit the Dog, Lord Charles.
Duncan Novell
chased me because the audiences didn't get that. So they did chase him. They beat him to death.
It's horrible, yeah. He was an attraction.
Yeah, they came back to England with tail between his legs.
And everything
fucking
else.
Fucking Norvell.
Yeah, so Kevin encourages her to trust people. He said, you know what, maybe trust people.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah, all right, 10-year-old boy.
You've turned my life around. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Have you got any money so I can buy some heroin?
Yes. No, because later on he goes, have a turtle dove. She's like, yeah, that'd get me through fucking Christmas Day.
Thanks very much.
I'll warm that up on the skillet.
Oh, I'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah.
So... he says, she talks to him as well about maybe, you know, if he sees anything wrong, he should write it.
That's so, then so weird. Actually, the whole bit in the park is so weird. So when he's weird. By himself with the pigeons and he gets covered in pigeons, the music playing reminds me of Batman 2.
Yeah.
It's like Michelle Pfeiffer, instead of turning into Catwoman, Kevin's covered in pigeons and turns into Pigeon Boy.
Yeah.
You're just like, peck at him and his eyes go milky and suddenly he's like a Pigeon Boy or something.
Maybe that's what happened to that cab driver earlier.
It must have been, yeah.
Milky pigeon eye.
Milky pigeon eye, man.
So he comes out. He comes away from the pigeon lady and goes, right, well, I'm going to not let Christmas be ruined by bad people.
Yeah.
So we get another montage like in the first film.
Yeah, he goes on another saga holiday. He goes back to the... Does he go back to... No, he doesn't go back
to... No, he goes back to his Uncle Rob's house and turns it into a fucking death trap.
Yeah, what he does, he crawls up the those convenient... What are they, like polyethylene tunnel things?
Yes.
That actually have no grip and there's no way on earth.
They're probably full of hazardous asbestos and chemicals.
And rats and heroin and death. He crawls into that. And then literally, for some reason, the plans of the building are there, which he then covers in crayon.
Yeah.
And you realise what a fucking psychopath Kevin is. Because single-handedly, he just looks at the bare bones of a building and goes, yeah, I can turn this into a death trap.
Yeah, easy. And I've got all these materials. And then materials. Sets about that. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Meanwhile, the McAllisters arrive at the plaza and they start shaming...
They're very apologetic, aren't they? Very apologetic.
They start shaming Tim Curry for the fact that they lost their son.
Yeah, and Tim Curry did his job.
Yeah.
And was suspicious of a child by himself in a hotel on a stolen credit card.
That's right.
And they start throwing fucking shade.
But here's my favourite bit of the film.
Go on.
She says, well, I'm going to go out there and find him. And then her husband's like, you can't go out there. It's New York. It's in the middle of nowhere. And then Tim Curry says, madam, there are thieves and murderers. And as he's halfway through saying it, she massively slaps him.
Yes.
And then he says, do bundle up. It's awfully cold outside.
Do bundle up, yes.
And then he starts acting like he's about to cry. And it's such brilliant face acting. So meanwhile, the Sticky Bandits... are in Duncan's toy chest because they hid overnight in a Wendy house.
In a Wendy house.
Not overnight, at closing time.
Because the guard's locked up, a typical like 900-year-old guard. That looks safe to me. And then they're in a Wendy house and there they go, we'll open all the tills of crowbars and they find loads of money.
Tons of money, yeah.
Tons of money. Toy money! Yeah. Where the big money's at, toy money!
They're packing it in bags and suddenly there's a flash. Kevin's at the window with a Polaroid camera taking photos of them.
Oh, it would have been a different film if they went into a sex shop.
Oh, yeah.
That would be good, wouldn't it? Look at all the dildos we got here!
And fucking Marv gets distracted.
Love eggs!
Starts putting love eggs up his bumhole.
Yeah, just look at me. Amyl nitrate too much and his hair goes on end.
So
yeah, Kevin takes Polaroids, now getting evidence of their wrongdoings.
And then he throws a brick through the window with a note on it, which sets off the alarm.
Yeah, clever. Yeah. Clever. So then they chase him.
To his uncle's house.
Yes. And then, now this is where the Home Alone idea of what Home Alone actually starts.
Yeah.
25 minutes before the end.
And I would say, as much as I enjoy the first one's perfectly paced in terms of the pratfalls and accidents. This has got about eight too many. Eight or nine.
Okay.
goes on far too long.
None of them are particularly... I think the funniest bit is the bricks.
I was going to say the funniest bit is when...
It's the bricks.
No, it's Marv using... That is funny, but my favourite bit, it's because it's a John Hughes joke that I enjoyed from Planes, Trains and Automobiles. It's Marv using the sink and then he turns the electricity on and he turns into a skeleton with hair and a beard.
Yes, of course. Yeah, there's always... And he does good reactions.
Yeah.
Whereas Joe Pesci doesn't.
No, he doesn't. No.
So the first thing is, because Kevin's already on the roof when they first find him. And you go, you're going to throw a brick at us? And he goes, yes. So he hits Marv straight on the head. And then Joe Pesci goes, you want to throw another one? So he does, and it hits Marv on the head.
Great sound design, by the way. The bricks sound really painful.
Do you want to do it again? So he does, and it hits Marv on the head. And this is Marv, like, just trying to scream. Oh, God, it's exhausting. And now it's just a series of scenes.
Although I do laugh at Pesci getting his head on fire and he goes to put it out with the toilet, which is full of petrol.
Full of kerosene.
And you just get the exterior shot of the house and it just goes...
Yeah, that's quite funny. He's only got comedy black soot face and the top of his hat's gone.
Yeah, which is again happened in the first film. So
really? Okay.
Pretty much.
All right. So, yeah, so basically it throws bricks at them. Mm. The iron nails up the arse and in the nose.
And in the cock.
And in the cock. Mm. Slippy goo ladder.
Yeah.
Fall through obvious hole.
Yes.
Bag of spanners on head.
Bag of cement on head, which makes bag it
of cement.
Go all,
oh, sorry, bag of cement on head. Bag of spanners on head.
Yeah, yeah.
Slip on goo and be propelled into a big rack of paint.
Yes.
Then electrocuted, then set on fire with paraffin toilet.
Yeah.
Then cement on head, then fall on ladder because ladder's been sawed.
Mm-hmm.
Then metal pole in face.
Yeah.
And 25... Burning rope. No, this way before... 25 tins of paint falling via metal blocks dropped on legs and or testicles.
Yes.
Metal filing cabinet trundling downstairs.
Tool cabinet, yeah.
Rope set on fire, 50-foot drop, 8 cans of paint on top.
Do you think this would have been a better way for that M. Night Shyamalan film, Unbreakable, for Bruce Willis to find out that he is unbreakable?
That's how he finds out.
Yeah. What happened, Dad? Were you in a train crash?
It's one tin of emulsion that can kill him. Now, I did a little bit... I'm assuming that Marv and Harry are habitual criminals and don't have healthcare insurance.
No.
It's very expensive in America. Mm. I looked at the average price of hospital treatments in 1992.
Okay.
Now, if these two guys went... And I then equated everything that they went through, they would need anywhere between 4 to 6 weeks of bed rest in hospital.
Okay.
Now, invasive surgeries, when you consider the fact that they've been, obviously, there's massive head trauma.
Oh, internal stuff as well.
There's been paint as well and burning, cement inhalation, all sorts of chemical inhalation.
Yeah, yeah.
It would roughly cost about $22,000 to fix them up. But that doesn't include the $1,000 per hour for any operating room procedures.
Right.
So let's say out of the 4 to 6 weeks, they are 2 weeks worth of operating room procedures.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, it's $500 a day for a hospital room per person.
Right.
But let's say they shared a room.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's $1,000 a day for any ancillary care, which roughly costs them on a mean average of $112,500. Yeah. $112,500,
right.
Which is roughly $56,000, $250 each.
Right.
Which I presume just gets covered when they go to jail, I suppose.
I'd imagine so. But that's a lot.
Do you think that's what happens?
Yeah.
It's an awful lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of money to spend on two criminals.
It's ridiculous. I don't think they would have had that in their swag bag.
Just let them die.
Just let them die.
Well, it gets worse as well.
Oh, it gets so much worse.
Because Kevin, meanwhile, runs out and phones the police and says they're in the park, they've got a gun, and there's fireworks.
No, he said, again, he rings the police with no context, just goes, I'm in the park.
Yeah.
I've got the burglars. They're like, where's New York? There's fucking 9 million of them. And look for fireworks.
Yeah, and they've got a gun.
Around Christmas. All right, we'll act on that information.
Yeah.
Jesus wept.
But they catch him because he gets hoisted by his own petard.
Because
he runs, slips on some ice.
He does, yeah. It's really not Funny.
So then, Kevin, meanwhile, they grab him, they take him into the park, and they're going to kill him.
They're going to kill him?
Yep. And Marv even pulls... Sorry, Harry pulls out the gun, but it's covered in gunk.
It's covered in gunk from previous shenanigans, but I don't... yeah, okay, that's fine. I don't know why it's covered in, like, treacle and molasses.
I guess from when they were assaulted in the house.
Right, because obviously as well as tins of paints, there were also tins of treacle and molasses and honey.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And they're just about to murder him when the pigeon lady turns up.
She does, and she's very clever.
Now, again, in the first one, the man with the snow shovel hits them both with the snow shovel.
Oh, I thought he threw snowflakes in their eyes or something.
So she throws seeds or breadcrumbs all over them?
Birdseed, which sticks all over them.
Yeah, because they're all sticky.
And then all the pigeons come and eat the stuff off, which actually wouldn't be that terrifying.
I think that'd be quite harrowing.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I don't know. If you just stood there very, very quietly, the pigeons would just go about their work.
I don't know, because you're covered in seeds and breadcrumbs.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's that much. Anyway, I think the more worrying thing for Brenda Fricker is that unbeknownst to her, all her beloved pigeons, which is all she lives for, are now ingesting paint, cement.
Yeah, good
so
point.
Basically, she'll go back to her lovely life and just have a floor of 2,000 dead pigeons.
She'll be the pigeonless lady.
Yes, she'll literally be like surrounded by the ghost of 2,000 pigeons.
Oh, that'd be quite a good film.
Yeah, I quite like that, actually, yeah. So the police see the fireworks that Kevin sets off while they're being eaten by pigeons. And screaming like death screams, like from Saw.
Yeah.
And then the police immediately go, these must be the guys.
Well, they also find pictures and the tape of them admitting to it.
Oh, that's right, the evidence of the crime. Yeah, which is completely inadmissible in court, but that's fine.
And Mr. Duncan is in the shop.
Yes.
And he sees, and the police come to him and go, we found this brick with a note on it. And he opens it and it's from Kevin. And he says, dear Mr. Duncan, sorry, I broke your window, but I did it to catch the bad guys. Thanks very much. Merry Christmas from Kevin. P.S. Thank you for the turtle doves.
It's a turtle doves.
And he's like, and
he goes, oh, that little prick. Oh.
That boy who led me on gave me blue balls. I mean, that boy that was lovely and I'm a ghost.
Yes, and I'm a ghost that will forever haunt his testicles. Yeah,
so
him.
Then Kevin's like, well, I'm going to go and look at the Christmas tree in Rockefeller
Center.
Yeah, it's the best Christmas tree.
They suddenly remember that he loves Christmas trees.
That's right.
Yeah.
So his
His mum immediately goes, I know. Well, she's looking for him, and she's in New York, but no one gives a damn.
No, even the policeman doesn't give a damn.
The policeman goes, hey, everyone goes mission here, touch, or whatever. And then she goes, Christmas trees, take me to the Rockefeller Center. And he goes, hop in, bitch.
He doesn't say bitch, but yeah, Rivera did.
Yeah. And then he takes her there. No.
Hop in, bitch.
I'm a policeman, bitch. I can help you in all your with all your issues. Yeah. And she turns up and Kevin sat there. And now Kevin's like, oh, actually, I wish I was with my family now because I've had a hell of a time.
Yeah.
Even though I've nearly killed two men again on my own doing.
Yeah.
And she finds him and they hug and, oh, it's all good. And they go back to the plaza now because of all the, all the terrible mixed messages. They get the best suite in town, and not only that, but Mr. Dead Ghost Pedophile Toy Shop Man has given them a million presents.
Yes.
To say thank you.
And also, we get Buzz here with more dialogue. He's not very good. They shouldn't have given him this scene.
He's not
very good,
is he? He
does not carry it.
No. And he just looks awful.
He does.
He looks like he should have, after this film, he voluntarily goes into the army. And he's shot within 3 days.
But the thing is,
and there's an accident and it's all covered up, but he's got severe anal bleeding.
The thing is, he's supposed to look awful. And in the first one, he's quite small and pudgy. But this one, obviously, he's grown up a bit more. And he looks
awful.
He looks more slender, but it doesn't work with the character. And he's
And also, doesn't Kevin at one point say, I'm the youngest at 10? But doesn't he have a younger brother, the little specky one?
That's his cousin.
Oh, that's his cousin.
That's Uncle Frank's kid.
Okay, fine. All right.
But in the last Home Alone, that awful one that no one watched that was on Disney Plus, Buzz cameos in it as a policeman. And now he's a big fat man.
And he
mentions how when someone says that there's this stuff going on again, and he goes, oh, it's not my brother again, is it? Ha ha ha. I haven't seen the film, but someone mentioned it.
Anyway, there are loads of presents.
Loads of presents from Duncan saying thanks.
Saying
here's
thank
here's
you.
A classic form of grooming.
Yeah, thank
Here's
you.
Here's lots of presents.
Thank you for Beyond the Grave. Yeah. And Buzz goes, I tell you what, Kevin, you opened the first one.
You're
and it's
brilliant.
A bomb. Mm. But Kevin then looks at
you,
the window.
Why is he giving you love beads?
Why is he giving you love eggs and dildos?
Yeah, out the window, he sees the pigeon lady.
Yeah, so what he does, he realises it's freezing fucking cold and all wintry and it's Christmas Day. She's all alone in Central Park with her pigeons.
His dad's
so he
got
runs it. Down to her and gives her a fucking ceramic turtle dove and goes, see ya!
His dad, he only recently had an envelope stuffed full of cash, but he decides, I'll give her an ornament.
Yeah. Yeah, and doesn't go, why don't you come inside and take the fucking weight off your feet
Another
and
bath.
Have some hot food and a bath because you stink.
Yeah.
And you've got Lyme disease and TB. And every time you fart, a bag of feathers comes out.
I don't understand why that's what they didn't do.
Gives her a fucking turtle dove and she should go, I like pigeons, you cunt.
Yeah. And he should have said, here's a turtle dove and by the way, would you like to come in and have a lovely Christmas dinner and
would you
and
like to have a merry Christmas and meet my family?
Right.
No.
Because in the first one, the thing is that in the first one, the snow shovel man has fallen out with his son, so he doesn't get to see his grandkids anymore. And at the end of the first one, because he talks him round, when he looks out the window at the end, he sees the snow shovel man's family come round, and he's like, ah, everyone's happy. But here, she's still freezing in Central
she's
Park.
She's still just left there. And this could have been the ultimate schmaltzy, fucking beautiful American, you know, dripping with mawkish honey ending. Come in and meet the family, and she sits there, and she's all like, I've learnt to trust again, or whatever it is. But no.
Well, you know what? Mr. Duncan's lonely at Christmas. Why don't you go and spend Christmas with him?
No, he's down the children's hospital again doing a goodwill.
He's so fucking going to get you treated in a few years, Mr. Duncan. That painting's going to be taken down, I'll tell you that much.
I'll tell you what.
That painting's basically going to be that portrait that Rolf Harris did of Jimmy Savile. That's how much
that
value it's
going to have.
Portrait's
going to be Ghostbusters 2 going... Yeah. And that building's fucking coming down immediately. Mm. And being covered in white fucking salt.
It'll just be called the Toy Chest now. Duncan's name will be right off that.
Jesus Christ. So yeah, he just leaves poor old Brenda Fricker alone in the snow with a
because
fucking...
Because his dad shouts, Kevin, you've spent
$970. $970 on room set. Well, what do you expect him to do, starve?
$967.43 he spent.
Right. Okay.
Which, considering how rich his dad is, I bet if his dad thought my son was on his own in New York for 2 days, that's not much money to spend, really.
No.
I mean, he might not have... He probably shouldn't have gone to the plaza, but he did, and he's safe. That's a small amount to pay for his safety.
Yeah, that's a perfectly reasonable fee for the safety of your own child.
The ending should have been... Because Kevin runs off in fear back into the park. He should have slipped on the ice, and then he should have broken his back, and then he's in a wheelchair forever.
Yeah, and he's got spina bifida.
Yeah, spina bifida.
So Home Alone 3 is him in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And he's trying to set up traps, but he actually gets snared in his own traps.
I just find him in a big net.
Just find him in a big net going, I need me pills now. The end.
Perfect. So, Paul, what did you think of Home Alone 2 Lost in New York?
I thought it was dog shit from start to finish. And I'm very glad I never saw it. But no, I've seen it. And I'm very glad you allowed me to see it and talk through it with you.
Because I did give you the option of doing the first one. But you then said, no, I want to see how bad the second one is.
I just always... Because obviously any sort of sequel is always going to be a watered down version. So I thought, no, let's do two.
Yeah.
And I'm very glad I did.
And as I say, you've now seen one because it's the same film.
Got you. Mm. Okay. So as we've established, in three, it's no longer him.
No.
And or even the family.
No.
Is it just a completely different family?
Different family, yeah.
Right. Is this one where they willfully, like, neglect their child? That'd be a nice idea.
No, the third one.
Like,
it's
a deep southern trailer trash family and they literally sell their son for fucking pecan pie or something.
No. The third one, I watched it with my son. He, he is given a remote control car by someone in his family. But these secret Russian mafia guys have hidden like a microchip in it that's worth millions of dollars.
Right.
So they have to break into the house to get the car.
Right, all right. That's three. What's four?
I haven't seen it.
I'll tell you what four is. Mm. Four, he flies a kite, the kid.
Yeah.
But there's a Nazi decoded message on the back of it, which he doesn't know, which attracts undead Nazis, which come over in a... fucking bee.
Right.
And try and kill him. That's four. What happens in five?
Don't know. I haven't seen it.
All right. Well, in five, Count Dracula's arsehole has been found preserved in aspic. which Kevin thinks is a chew toy.
Right.
But it's not Kevin, is it, at this point? It's fucking Imhotep. And he chews it, and Count Dracula briefly takes over him.
Right.
And he has to spend the film fighting Dracula hunters. And he kills the Dracula hunters with a variety of traps and snares in a Disney-themed castle in Nebraska.
Right. Good.
And at the end, he's given the sweet release of death by his mother, who stabs him in the chest.
Slowly.
Slowly.
To that music.
I haven't seen Six, so I don't know what happens in Six.
Me neither, no. I imagine it's along that theme.
It's around something
like that. Thinking, I had a thought today, because when I was looking on Disney Plus, one of the things that came up was to tell me that on Friday, the new Indiana Jones film was on there.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Yeah, and I thought, I wonder if they'll do... Because Macaulay Culkin's all right for cash, isn't he? Because I read somewhere that for this film, he got like $20 million.
Now, I saw him recently unveil his own star on
Got his Hollywood Walkers.
And lovely O'Mara went with him, and they did a photo op. And I remember seeing him now, and he looks a bit like the guy who plays the Predator just before the makeup goes on. He just looks really fucking weird.
Yeah, well,
he still looks like a bald baby, but now with facial hair.
His brother has aged better, hasn't he?
Yeah, much better.
The succession lad. But I was thinking, I wonder if in, say, 30 years, they'll go to him and say, look, how about doing Home Alone, but you're an old man?
Oh.
Like they've done with Indiana Jones. You're a 77-year-old man in an old folks' home.
This is perfect. So the old folks' home are going to go out on like a day out, and they leave him there. And the sons of the criminals, are going to steal from Lala because the Christmas fund is in there. Mm. And now the older Kevin has to take down the sons of the yes.
Yeah,
that's a brilliant idea.
Hit me up, Disney.
I hope they never make it, but it's a brilliant idea.
I don't think Macaulay Culkin would do it. I think, from what I understand, I think he's got a plenty of money and he doesn't need to do anything.
Right.
And therefore he doesn't.
Well, let's see how he feels in 20 years.
Yeah, here you go. See, Harrison Ford would probably have told you that 20 years ago, and now he's doing Indiana Jones and Blade Runner films up his arse.
Exactly. To gunpoint as well. That's what people don't know about the last two films that he's done. They've all been to gunpoint.
Well, it's weird because when you watch... This is completely off subject, but with Harrison Ford in those interviews in the old days, he was like, oh, I've done all the Star Wars films I'm going to do now. I've done all the Indiana Jones films. Now it's like he's knocking on the door and asking for him.
Mind you, I think he has to keep paying off all those fucking fees he makes for crashing into shit and landing in highways and stuff.
And weed ain't cheap.
That must cost millions. Yeah. And weed ain't cheap for Harrison.
But anyway, there we go. Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. Paul, what are your thoughts and feelings for going into 2024?
I haven't really given a tin shit of a thought about
nor have I. It's just another day, isn't it?
It's just another. I hope it's dry so I can go for a walk.
I tell you what, my biggest thought and feeling for 2024 is I hope we get a summer.
Oh wow! Well,
didn't really get one last year, did we?
Well, I don't know.
Pub gardens did we sit in last year?
That is true. But
one or two, maybe.
But honestly, John, the way it's going with global warming, babes, don't ask for summer because you might just get one.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I would like one, so that's good.
Oh, so that's good then.
That's fine.
All right. I might watch Home Alone. No, I'm not. No.
Well, you know what? The first one is good.
Right, but it's quite mawkish.
But you've seen it.
I've already seen it.
But it's a nice thing to put on at Christmas, like Christmas Day in the afternoon or something. It's quite nice.
No, see, I think that's one of the worst decisions you can ever make is to put that on. I don't want to watch that.
Well, what's your Christmas film then? That's a better question for you.
Star Trek 2, Wrath of Khan.
That's a good Christmas film.
It's probably my Christmas. Yeah. Or the first Indiana Jones film. That's what you want.
You could dub Kirk at the end by saying that this Christmas takes place in the shadow of New Life.
Yeah, I could do that, couldn't I? Yeah. I could do that. I'll watch Wrath of Khan or something.
He was the most Christmas.
That. I could do that. Yeah.
Just dub it.
Yeah. What's the name of the guy who runs the toy shop?
Mr. Duncan.
I could go Duncan.
Yeah, there you
Duncan.
Go.
Yeah. Duncan. I could do that. Mm. Yeah.
There we go. There we go. Home Alone 2. Thank you very much, Paul. Merry Christmas to you.
And Merry Christmas to you. And Merry Christmas to all you Smersh Pod listeners out
there. That's right.
And
all you out there, have a lovely Christmas. Tuck yourselves out. I know this is coming out before Christmas, but people listen to these things over Christmas. So.
And try and be nice to your loved ones, even if they get right on your tit end.
That's right. And as my dad used to say to me, be nice to people on the way up because you're going to meet them on the way down. Mm. He was a skydiving instructor. Goodbye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.